so much for singing this morning. Hope that was a blessing to you. And I want to thank everybody during this time that has volunteered to come over and help us and sing online. It's been a blessing. And just doing what we can while we have been at home. And anyway, if you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture. I'm going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this morning is a Mother's Day themed service. I'm going to talk to you about the foundation and power of influence. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to also look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we'll just flip over a page here in just a second while you're finding your place. Once again, I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. I want to wish my wife, Stephanie, a happy Mother's Day. I want to wish my mom, Lisa, a happy Mother's Day, and I wish my grandmother, Peggy, a happy Mother's Day as well. I want to do that publicly. But today we celebrate our 106th official Mother's Day in United States history. Mother's Day is a celebration honoring the mother of the family, as well as motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of our mothers in society. The first unofficial Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908 when a woman named Anna Jarvis, she held a memorial for her mother, whom she loved so dearly, at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers, it gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in the United States. So officially, on May the 9th, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, he proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, establishing the day as a time for public expression for love and reverence for the mothers of our country. So with this in mind, the sermon this morning is a Mother's Day themed sermon, but it can be applied to everybody here this morning. While we aren't all mothers, we all have mothers. And we've all been influenced by our mothers, our grandmothers, and even our great-grandmothers. Thus, I want to preach this morning with appreciation for that time-honored institution. Without the benefit, which we would all not be here without mothers. So why do we celebrate Mother's Day? Because with all the stumbling blocks, all the pitfalls, maybe the broken dreams, the soiled diapers, the soiled wallpaper, the soiled plans, we honor a beautiful idea, a natural part of God's creative plan to bring love and caring to light. For motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. And one part of being a mother, or simply a parent, or even a Christian, is that of the foundation and power of influence. So I want to talk to you about that today, about influence. So let me read the text for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5, 6, and 7. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Flip over a page to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This morning, my focus is on two women, a mother and a grandmother, who had an impact on a young man named Timothy. The grandmother's name was Lois, who greatly influenced her daughter, Eunice, who greatly influenced her son, Timothy. When it comes to Lois and Eunice and the circumstances surrounding their lives, let's consider some things in way of introduction where these two ladies lived, and even Timothy. Consider in way of introduction the city in which they lived. They lived in Lystra. Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 16 tells us a little bit about Lystra. It was a Roman military colony in the province of Galatia. It's modern day Turkey. Lystra served as a market town. There's a lot of buying and selling occurred there. A lot of people come from other areas. There was a temple to Zeus in the city. A statue of Hermes dedicated to Zeus there as well. It's kind of the city they lived. Now notice the culture that they lived here in Lystra. It was a humanistic culture, according to Acts chapter 14, verse 7 through 20, where man was the center and not God, which was characteristic of many Hellenistic cities of the Roman world. They were all about philosophy, all about the power of the mind. They were a superstitious culture. There was a lot of worship of Zeus and Hermes there with the temple. Zeus was king of the gods, and to them, the symbol of thunder and lightning there. They lived at Mount Olympus. The Romans called him Jupiter. Sacrifices were made to him there at Lystra. Hermes was the son of Zeus, and he was the god of trade and the messenger of the gods. He was called Mercury by the Romans. And two Greek legends connected with the gods, Zeus and Hermes, had come down in the likeness of man. Thus, when Paul and Barnabas came there, first of all, in Acts chapter 14, to preach Jesus, the true Son of God, to them there in the marketplace, and when a crippled man had been healed, they thought it was Zeus and Hermes who had come down to earth, and they were trying to worship them. And they said, no, we are not who you think we are. We are messengers of the true Son of God, preaching him. Later there was commotion, and Paul and was stoned and left outside of the city. That was the culture in which Lois and Eunice lived. Consider the situation which they had. It was more of a mixed marriage in Acts chapter 16. Eunice was Jewish, having grown up in a Jewish home and influenced by her mother Lois. However, maybe due to the lack of Jewish population in Lystra, or maybe some other circumstance, we do not know, she married a Greek Gentile man. So you have a Jewish woman who was taught a God-centered education and did things culturally completely opposite with his wife there, man-centered education, living in a secular Roman city. They had a son named Timothy. The scriptures imply that maybe Timothy's father was dead or maybe absent. We don't know. We do not know. But Paul was more like a father figure, a mentor to Timothy. And influence being drawn by Eunice and Lois, who were converted to Christ through the influence of the Apostle Paul. So even though the city, the culture, the situation were all unfavorable to Eunice, she still trained Timothy in the way of the Lord, just as she had been taught by her mother Lois. Fortunately, the faith and training given Timothy by his mother and by his grandmother had more effect upon him than the unbelief of his father, to the extent Timothy was highly recommended of the believers there in Lystra. In like manner, today we all live in a country and a culture that is secular, that many do not believe in God, that triumphs man's opinion over God's, that thinks they are entitled to everything, that champions disrespect of authority, including parents and grandparents, that are superstitious on many things, that does that which is right in their own eyes. Even though their world and our world is like that due to original sin in this culture, it doesn't mean we have to give in and influence our kids and others in that manner. As Christians, as believers in Christ, we are to be salt and light in this culture. Lois and Eunice were such in training young Timothy, who in turn influenced others for the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry with Paul. So what then made Lois and Eunice so effective in influencing young Timothy, to which he would reject that secular, man-centered, superstitious religion of the area and of his father, and cling to the faith of his mother and his grandmother? It all had to do with the foundation behind the influence of Eunice and Lois. Hey, this foundation is made up of four things, four pillars. So I'm going to give you four things today that makes up this foundation of the power of influence. Number one, when it comes to Eunice and Lois, number one, their beliefs determined their values. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. Their beliefs determined their values. In 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. So when you look at that phrase there, Paul was admonishing Timothy, you have got to see that the Scriptures were foundational for Eunice and for Lois, who taught Timothy. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. So Timothy had known the Scriptures since he was a child, taught to him by his mother and his grandmother. Why? Because they believed the word of God and it determined their values. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You will talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign upon your hand. Be frontlets between your eyes. You write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In this context, the Holy Scriptures referred to the Old Testament, and a Jewish boy began to study the Old Testament at age 5. And the verse implies that Timothy was even younger when his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were teaching him at home. For from a child means from infancy, from a babe. They taught him the Old Testament discipline of obedience to God and pointed him to the coming Messiah. And when the Apostle Paul came to Lystra and was preaching Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, they believed in him to save their souls. Thus, the Scriptures enabled them to make them wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Lois and Eunice embraced the Scriptures, taught them to Timothy, embraced the principles of the Word of God, and it shaped their values. Their beliefs determined their values. Let me ask you a question. What do you believe this morning? You cannot even begin to influence somebody positively for Jesus Christ unless you know what you believe and why you believe it. So many Christians today, saved, born again, have accepted Christ, have values that are worldly and humanistic and sinful, and there's no difference between what they believe versus what has been told to them by the culture, the media, secular teachers, mentors, even parents that don't know the Lord. They've allowed the philosophy of this world to shape their values and not the Word of God. Why is this? Why is it we are to be in this world but not of it? Because 25% of Christians, according to statistics, even bother to read and study and meditate on Scripture. That means, if the stats are right, and I hope they're not, 75% of Christians don't read the Scriptures at all. 3 out of every 4 people. And we wonder why we're not effective as believers, as mothers, as fathers, as Christians. We haven't taken the time to grow in the Word of God. We're still living on milk when we should be on meat as we're growing in Christ. And we're not taking the time to allow the Word of God to shape our values. Why? Because we think it's irrelevant to everyday life. Because we're too busy. Because we make excuses such as, I can't understand, I don't like to read, etc. Hey, listen, I didn't understand the entire Word of God when I first got saved, and I still don't understand it all. I'm still learning each and every day myself. When our value systems are shaped by the culture and the world around us, there's a great disconnect in the life of a Christian. Thinking it's okay to do things that the Bible says is wrong. These things are taught and modeled to the next generation, and they live with that disconnect. Thinking the Bible is irrelevant for 21st century living. Hey, the culture may have changed from the time the Bible was written, but people are still the same, and sin is still the same. The Word of God is very relevant just as it was then, because it's a foundation of truth. It's inspired by God. God breathed. It's profitable there in verse 16 for doctrine, how we can be better people, telling us how bad we are, telling us how good God is, telling us how much we need Jesus Christ. It points us to the good news. It's profitable in our lives for what's right, that's doctrine. What's not right, that's reproof. How to get right, that's correction. And how to stay right, that's instruction in righteousness. Lois and Eunice believed this. They believed the scriptures, and it shaped their values, which influenced Timothy. Number one, their beliefs determined their values. Number two, the second pillar of this foundation, and this is a building here. We're building this. So if their beliefs determine their values, number two, their values determine their priorities. Their values determine their priorities. Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Values determining priorities. Because the values of Eunice and Lois were shaped by the Word of God, it determined their priorities. Everything they did it because they loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what is your number one priority? What is that priority that motivates everything you say? What is that priority that motivates everything you do? What is that priority that drives your life? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that for a Christian, the number one priority should be to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He is to be loved. He is to be everything to me. He is to be everything to you. So if this is the number one priority, how come we're not acting like it? How come we struggle so much in this culture as believers? Why are we checked out today when it comes to spiritual things? Why do we have Christians that believe in the Lord who have priorities like the world? Vain things, temporal things, things that don't matter. Why are parents so selfish today? Why are believers so selfish today? Why do we see Christians who say they love the Lord, but they don't love other Christians or the local church? They stay home, they watch sports, they play golf, they do everything, which aren't bad things, but they replace the Lord and the kingdom of God with things that don't matter because our priorities are out of place. We've allowed the world to redefine the priorities that God has intended for us as we grow as believers. Our beliefs have been built by the things of this world, not the Word of God. Hey, our values have been shaped by the things. And our priorities have been determined by the things of this world, not the Word of God. And when this happens, Christian, your confidence begins to be more in yourself than in Christ. Oh, you love Him. You trusted Him to get you to heaven. But you have no confidence in Him because your priorities are out of place. And a lost world sees that and they say, oh, you say you love Him and you trust Him, but you live your life as an atheist, worrying about everything because you have more confidence in yourself than you have in Christ. Believers, this morning, we need to show a lost and dying world a newfound confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and His power. He must be our definition. He must be our priority. See, Lois and Eunice's values were shaped by their belief in the Word of God. That was their foundation. Thus, their number one priority was the love of the Lord, their family, then others, then themselves. And the priorities were ordered correctly. And Timothy was influenced by that. Beliefs determine values. Number two, values determine priorities. Number three, their priorities determine their actions. Their priorities determine their actions. Back over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 that I had read, it talks about the genuine faith, the unfeigned faith that is in you. Paul said, I want you stir it up. I want to call to that remembrance in your life and stir it up in your life. Because your mother and your grandmother, their beliefs determine their values. Their values determine their priorities. And the priorities determine actions. And Timothy, you've been influenced by that. Genuine faith. Sincere faith. Their everyday actions were determined by their faith. What they believed, what their values were, what their priorities were, all this was shaped by their actions. This faith lived first in their grandmother Lois. I personally believed in Paul's first missionary journey in Acts 14. She heard the gospel, and then she influenced Eunice, and she believed, and I really believe it was in Paul's second missionary journey in Acts 16. Now, I'm not definite on that, but I just what I personally believe. And they both had influence on Timothy by their actions. In our lives, our actions are primarily a result of our priorities, which are a result of our values, which are a result of what we believe. It all connects. If we believe our own opinions of things or what we hear, that will shape our values. And if the end justifies the means, or what we can pick and choose from truth, from scripture, and we begin to excuse our things from things that we should be doing as Christians, this affects my priorities, which affects my actions. For example, there was a time in my life when basketball and NASCAR racing took priority over what I should be doing as a Christian. So you know what happened? I began to be late to church on Sunday night because I had to see the end of the race, or I left the invitation of the morning service so I could see the green flag. Thus would racing on my mind, and like I said, this is before I became a pastor, because I really can't leave during the invitation as a pastor anyway. But with racing on my mind, I absolutely got nothing from what the preacher preached. My priorities affected my actions. For example, there was a time when what people thought about me was a priority, and it determined my actions. So I became somebody that I wasn't, did things that I would impress them. I was insecure. Priorities affect actions. There's another thing. Here's another time. I thought about this. There was another time when basketball was my priority. It determined in my actions. It could be in your life. It could be sports. It could be what people think. It could be the opposite sex. It could be anything. Anything that can take your heart away from the Lord. So many Christians are hit or miss at church because of their priorities. So many believers are in sin this morning because of their priorities. So many Christians fail to grow in the Christian life because of their priorities. Our actions are determined by our priorities, which are determined by our values, which are determined by our beliefs. The same was true with Lois and Eunice, who embraced that and influenced Timothy, and it's the same true with every family listening this morning. Number four. So we're building it. Their beliefs determine their values. Their values shape their priorities. Their priorities determine their actions. Number four, their actions determined their influence. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "You must continue the things which you've learned and been assured of." Learned and assured of. Actions determine influence. Because Lois believed the scripture, It shaped her values, it determined her priorities, affected her actions. It in turn affected her daughter, influenced her daughter, and Eunice's belief and values and priorities and actions would influence her son Timothy. The text says, learned and has been assured of, learned and convinced. Timothy learned these things from his mother and his grandmother, and because their lifestyle, because they lived what they believed, because they modeled the things they taught to Timothy, it led to a godly influence on Timothy's life. And what's the difference this morning between learning something and being convinced by it? Because he says there in that verse, learned and is assured of. What's the difference between learning something and being convinced by it? How it's modeled. For example, I was taught right and wrong just like every other kid was growing up. I was taught Christianity and Jesus and the scriptures growing up. But the difference was I saw it play out in the lives of the ones who taught me. They lived what they preached. Their actions determined their beliefs, their values, their priorities, and that in turn would influence mine for Christ. There comes a time when a child makes a decision of what they're going to believe and how they're going to live, regardless of the circumstances or the situations of their families. I saw it time and time again when I taught high school in a Christian school. Around 9th and 10th grade, a kid hits a crossroads. Are the things that mom and dad teaching me, are the things the church is teaching me Is it true? Can I believe it? And so many times I've seen so many good young people turn away from Christ in their hearts, and it did not play out until they're 22 and 23 years old. It all goes back to example. What are we modeling to the younger generation? And that scares me because it causes me to check up and to examine myself to see how I'm modeling myself to my two kids. As a parent, as a pastor, as a Christian, I am aware that my actions are determined by what I believe, by what my values are, by what my priorities are, and that affects and influences others. When I was a high school teacher, I knew this when it came to teaching students about the life stuff, the practical stuff. The number one rule that if you wanted to get your point across, you had to model it. You have to first believe it with your whole heart. Kids, you can't fool kids. Kids can see that. Kids and others must see what's important to you, parent, what's important to you, grandparent. And God is saying, I want you to model what's most important to me. Thus, Christ and the scriptures are not only to be taught by others, it's to be modeled. I want to ask you this morning, who or what are you modeling? What kind of example are your kids and grandkids looking up to? Are you teaching them a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you teaching them values shaped by the Word of God? Are you teaching them priorities determined by godly values? Because remember, whatever is your number one priority is going to be mimicked. It's going to be copied by those looking up to you. For example, I saw this happen one time. I saw a mother completely just chew a teacher out right in front of her daughter in the parking lot of a school that I once taught at. Was the teacher wrong? Yes. Was the mother right? Yes. Was the matter resolved properly? No. The discussion should have taken place just between teacher and mother with daughter absent. Because what they did not realize, the daughter was picking up what the mother was doing, and she lost respect for that teacher. The authority was diminished. For example, another example, if a parent doesn't do simple things such as pray with their child before a meal, pray with their child before bed, that child grows up not placing an importance on prayer because he or she knows mom and dad doesn't place a priority on it. For example, if a parent models such priorities such as self over the Lord and things of the Lord, such as church, etc., the child sees that and follows the example. For example, a child goes to school and gets in trouble and complains about a certain rule, and if mom and dad says, you know what, I agree with you, that's a stupid rule, what happens? What happens is they miss a prime teaching opportunity to say this, to sit their child down and say, listen, we might not agree with the rule, but that is the rules that we agreed to. Because what they're doing is you're teaching your child that everything, you're going to work a job someday with house rules, and you're going to have to follow that. For example, I'll go to a restaurant and I'll see families eating together, but mom and dad on cell phones talking and texting when they should be talking to each other and their kids. The kids pick up on that. It's modeling. If you're a parent, a grandparent, a Christian, examine your beliefs, examine your values, examine your priorities, examine your actions, because these things influence others negatively or positively. Now, we cannot do everything right. There's been many times I've sat down with Ella and say, listen, Ella, I'm so sorry. I'm still learning how to be a daddy. We've all come short. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. But by the Holy Spirit's help in our lives, we can do a whole lot of things right. Somewhere along the line, Timothy made the connection between what he was taught by his mother and grandmother and what was practiced by his mother and grandmother, and it lined up in their lives, and Timothy was convinced of it and moved forward by faith. Beliefs, values, priorities, actions all lead to influence. This message is for mothers, for fathers, for grandfathers, for grandmothers, for Christians, for everybody. We are influencing others every day and don't even know it. You don't know who's looking up to you. Thus, we must examine the foundation behind our influence. What are your beliefs this morning? What are your values? What are your priorities? What are your actions? We have a generation coming up now that has seen hypocrisy. A disconnect between what was taught and what was modeled. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God taught his people to teach and model to his children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, truly what was important. When the foundation behind our influence is solid, it affects the power of our influence. So I've looked at the foundation of that influence, so let's look at the power of influence. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul told Timothy to be an example of the believers in six things. I imagine that because this section of 1 and 2 Timothy kind of reflect each other in many, many ways, that as Paul is admonishing Timothy in these things, he looks back and sees these things in his mother and his grandmother, and they taught it and they lived it, and Paul taught it and Paul lived it. Now, Timothy, you do the same. What we have modeled to you, you in turn go model and influence others for Christ. You influence by what you model. That's my application. You influence by what you model. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. So you're influencing by what you model in your communication. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and communication. The very words you say are heard by others. Make sure they're good words. Make sure they're godly words. Make sure they're positive words. Make sure they're encouraging words. Make sure they're words that build up. Because mom and dad and Christian, what you say is influenced by your priorities, your values, and your beliefs, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. Be an example not only in your communication, but your conduct. Be an example of the believers in word and conversation and in conduct. By the very actions, by your very actions, how you carry yourself, it's mimicked by others. Make sure they're good actions. Make sure they're good reactions to life circumstances, because how you act is influenced by your priorities, your values, your beliefs, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. Hey, be an example in your love and your charity. The very love you show is returned and mimicked by others. Make sure you love others as much as you love the Lord. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What you love in life is influenced by your priorities, your values, your beliefs, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. Hey, be an example in your character. Timothy, be an example in word and conduct and love and spirit. That idea of the very attitude that you have in life is mimicked by others. Make sure you have a positive attitude, void of complaining and negativity and dislike toward things. Hey, your attitude in life is influenced by your priorities, your values, your beliefs, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. Hey, be an example by what you're modeling in your convictions. Notice what it says in word, conduct, love, spirit, and faith, your convictions. The very convictions you have in life influences others. Make sure your convictions are built upon the foundation of the Word of God, not your preferences, and faith in the Christ. Your convictions in life are influenced by your priorities, your values, your belief, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. And also in purity, cleanliness. The very purity or lack thereof in your life influences others. Hey, make sure your life is not contaminated by the things of this world. If so, give it to the Lord. Lay it at the cross. Make sure your heart's been cleansed and sin's been covered by the blood. Hey, the purity of your life is influenced by your priorities, your values, your beliefs, and it's modeled by those looking up to you. In closing, I wonder what could happen this morning if every believer, every Christian who claimed the name of Jesus Christ would examine their lives and begin to strengthen the foundation behind their influence, their beliefs, their values, their priorities, their actions. If every believer would truly do that each and every day, there would be change. There would be change in every individual life that would influence every other life looking up to that person, and ultimately it influences a church, a community, and a nation. I do understand that this world's getting worse and worse and wicked by the day. I cannot change that. You cannot change that. There's always going to be negative influences. I understand that. But what I can change, what I can control is my own life and my own response to the gospel, my own decisions, My beliefs, my values, my priorities, my actions. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that evil men and seducers will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But in light of this, Timothy, in light of what's going on, Timothy, you continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing where you've learned them from me, from your mother, from your grandmother. Influence. How is the foundation behind your influence this morning? We lack power in our churches because we lack maintaining the things we need to do in order to have that power, and it all begins with Jesus Christ. It's his example. Read Christ. If you want to know God, look at Jesus. He must influence you in such a way that there's biblical change in your life and you impact others. So let me ask you this question. Do you know him as your personal Savior? He came, he lived, he modeled to us what the kingdom of God would be like. He went to the cross and died for my sins and your sins and rose again. So you can have an opportunity to accept that free gift of salvation. He took your sin. So there's always grace, my friend. There's grace. Do you know him? Is he influencing your life? Believer, if you know Christ, is he influencing your life? Are you following his example, and are you modeling Christ to those who look up to you? Hey, that's the challenge this morning. If you're listening by way of internet and want to know how you can become a Christian, feel free to message our Facebook page, and one of our administrators will return your message and talk to you how you can know for sure that you can be saved. I want to pray, and I want to close, and thank you so much for tuning in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this challenge from your word this morning. We thank you for the power and the foundation behind influence. It all started with Christ, who influenced 12, who influenced others, who influenced others, who influenced others. And now we have the church, we have the local church, we have the universe. And it's a beautiful thing, Lord, the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that my words could be a challenge. Your word can be a challenge. Help us be challenged to examine our heart and look to see where our beliefs lie, where our priorities, where our actions lie. All that, all the foundation of it all, Lord. Help us to keep maintaining ourselves each and every day. Lord, I pray you be with every family watching this morning. I pray you would help them and bless them. Be with our church family. Lord, I pray that as time goes on, I pray you would just comfort where comfort's needed. I pray you be with those who are down today. And I pray you lift them up and give them grace and give them peace and give them the peace of God today. Lord, we love you. And I pray you give us a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And I hope you have a great week. And I'll be looking forward to Tuesday evening on the 9s, our Bible study. Thanks. Have a great day.